Good morning. I am your minister by default, and it's not my fault, okay? Susan has strep throat, so she is home sick. So I had a message last night. I think everybody got a message last night, just kind of a wing and a prayer, and that's kind of what we are today. I have no idea what is even in the bulletin, so we will look at our announcements. Choir practice will be Thursday at 7, and we're not planning to sing for Sunday, but we just thought we would get a kind of a rough practice together, see who all is interested, kind of do some exercises to limber ourselves up a little bit, and that'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday. Next Sunday, we will be having a joint service with Buchanan at Buchanan. Luann will be on vacation. That will be the last Sunday for Buchanan in a regular service, so we decided that we would have a joint service. Communion was scheduled for this morning, but it will be at Buchanan next Sunday at 9 o'clock. So, and then Buchanan's celebration is in the afternoon. At what time? 2:30? Is that right? 2:30? I don't know if that's even in here or not. Any other announcements that anybody can remember? Ashley. The 150th, I think.
When they stopped traffic, they took a picture of everybody in front of the church, and then the picture was then published on the front of our directory in 2001. She would like to have a copy of that, borrow a copy of that, if anybody has one or knows somebody who has one, for next Sunday afternoon. So if you know anybody who has a picture, please let me know.
I think we have a directory down in the kitchen, don't we? And scan it.
And scan it.
Anybody here with a little know-how?
Does she have a directory with it on?
No, it's not like she had.
Because I think John Ogden is helping her. He is capable of doing that.
There's one down.
He could take the directory and do that. So we need to get it. Yeah, we need to get her a kitchen and not go and nothing else. Like John told me yesterday that he's working with her to get this compiled. He's very capable of scanning things and erasing things.
What's that? Of what Ashley said, so it's on the... Ruth Weber contacted Ashley, and she is looking for a copy of the 150th anniversary in front of Buchanan, and they want to use that for their celebration next weekend. So if we can get that together, if we have one in the kitchen, we'll get that to John Ogden and see if he can't get us a good copy printed off. Any other announcements? Let us worship God. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to God's self, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Please join me in our call to worship. Is God not the one who formed the whole of who we are? Is God not the one who searches us out for our good?
Let us worship God, our Redeemer.
Is God not the one whose Spirit accompanies our every breath?
Let us worship God, our ever-present guide, in all that is holy and sacred.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we want to follow wherever you might lead us. We want to pick up our crosses and follow you, whatever the cost. We want to be entirely yours now and forever. Be with us in our time of worship, we pray. Give us the strength, courage, wisdom, and grace to fill these desires, for without your help we can do nothing. Be completely ours so that we might be completely yours. Amen. Our opening song is Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise, and that is... It's not in the bulletin. All right. Yes. Whatever. Would the organist like to make a choice? Since she's with us today? Yeah. All right. Anybody from the congregation? Carol. I thought you had one right on the end of your tongue. Okay.
497.
Please be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins before God and one another. God of gifts, God of giving, you have granted us a home within your congregation, a refuge, a shelter against the storms of life. There are no words to describe the wonder, the majesty of this gift. We sit in the company of saints, yet we often ignore the opportunities for service, for prayer, for fellowship with each other. We create hierarchies. We insist on our rights instead of bending a knee to wash the feet of the saints in our midst. Forgive us, heal us, inspire us, that we may receive each other with the same grace and love which you have extended to us. These things we pray in the name of your suffering servant, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God hears the confession of our hearts and lips. Through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven all our sins, and by the Holy Spirit, we are empowered for new life. We believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me in the prayer for or song for illumination, number 361. Seated.
The first reading today is from Philemon, verse 1 through 21, and it can be found on page 293 of the Pew Bible. From Paul, a prisoner for the sake of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy, to our friend and fellow worker Philemon, and the church that meets in your house, and our sister Aphia, and our fellow soldier Archippus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Brother Philemon, every time I pray, I mention you and give thanks to my God, for I hear of your love for all the God's people and the faith you have in the Lord Jesus. My prayer is that our fellowship with you as believers will bring about a deeper understanding of every blessing which we have in our life in union with Christ. Your love, dear brother, has brought me great joy and much encouragement. You have cheered the hearts of all of God's people. For this reason, I could be bold enough as your brother in Christ to order you to do what should be done. But because I love you, I make a request instead. I do this even though I am Paul, the ambassador of Christ Jesus, and at present also a prisoner for his sake. So I make a request of you on behalf of Onesimus, who is my own son in Christ. For while in prison, I have become his spiritual father. At one time, he was of no use to you, but now he is useful both to you and to me. I am sending him back to you now. With him goes my heart. I would like to keep him here with me while I am in prison for the gospel's sake, so that he could help me in your place. However, I do not want to force you to help me, Father. Rather, I would like for you to do it of your own free will. So I will not do anything unless you agree. It may be that Onesimus was away from you for a short time so that you might have him back for all time. And now he is not just a slave, but much more than a slave. He is a dear brother in Christ. How much he means to me and how much more he will mean to you, both as a slave and as a brother in the Lord. So if you think of me as your partner, welcome him back just as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Here, I will write this of my own hand. I, Paul, will pay you back. I should not have to remind you, of course, that you owe your very self to me. So, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. As brother in Christ, cheer me up. I am sure, as I write this, that you will do what I ask. In fact, I know that you will do even more. The responsive reading today is Psalm 139. It can be found on page 688 of the Pew Bible. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6, and then skip down to 13 through 18. This side of the church will read the odd numbers with me, and Mick's side, the even numbers with Mick. You were there? Okay. Psalm 139. Lord, you have examined me, you know me. You see me, whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions.
Even before I speak, you already know what I will say.
You are all around me on every side. You protect me with your power.
Your knowledge of me is beyond my understanding.
You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you because you are too dear. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all my heart.
When my bones were being formed, you carefully put them together in my mother's womb, and I was growing there in secret. You knew that I was there. O God, how difficult I find your thoughts. How many of them there are.
If I counted them, they would be more than the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
All Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. On page 104 in your Pew Bible. Luke 14, 25 through 33. The cost of being a disciple. Once when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me cannot be my disciple unless he loves me more than he loves his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, and himself as well. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If one of you is planning to build a tower, he sits down first and figures out what it will cost to see if he has enough money to finish the job. If he doesn't, he will not be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will make fun of him. This man began to build but can't finish the job. They will say, if a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down first and decide if he is strong enough to face the other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king to ask for terms of peace while he is still a long way off. In the same way, concluded Jesus, none of you can be my disciples unless he gives up everything he has. Since I don't have a prepared sermon this morning, in the light of the gospel reading this morning and the letter that Paul had from Philemon, talks about people in having church in their homes, and it's a little bit more of a relaxed setting if people are meeting in their homes. As part of the special time this morning, I would like all of you to come up with something that you've seen the Lord work in your life this week or in this month or whatever, or just something you would like to share with the congregation, a little bit more of an informal venue. Is that a joy or concern?
We've seen them grow.
That's a milestone. It's what? 23rd anniversary. Congratulations, Lou Ann. And Lou Ann had a birthday last week.
56.
And she's an honest woman. Ashley had a doctor's appointment this week, and we were pleasantly surprised that some of her sight is coming back on the visual field test. Now, it doesn't translate right out into stepping down off the curb or falling over the cat, but it is showing some improvement since January. Her some of her peripheral has actually doubled. So, well, it's like if you have 2 cents, you've got 4 cents, you still don't have enough to do anything with. But we're encouraged. She's been kind of frustrated this summer because the cataracts have been kind of giving her some trouble, and you know that it's. We were about ready to throw in the towel, and God threw us a breadcrumb, and we're going on further. So that was a very well-timed test.
You won't see me drive.
She isn't driving yet. Not to be concerned. Dick.
Yes, the adult Sunday school has moved back into the church for their 9:30 Sunday school class. It was a great day. good participation. But it's good to be back here within the church itself, and hopefully we can get some more people to join us here.
Okay.
So it's not the bulletin that's written up wrong, but we are back in the church for the Sunday school at 9:30.
Okay, Sunday school is back in the church. They were, what, about 6 months to 8 months?
9 months.
9 months. They've been at the nursing and rehab on the hill, kind of an outreach mission.
We'll go up again next summer, but normally we don't have class by the summer, but we'll probably
okay, may make plans to go back up with the residents and visitors up there in the summertime. So they are back, and it is in the kitchen for the rest of the year. Joyce.
Yesterday, we were blessed at the museum. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's been in the newspaper, I think, but the Rocky Express pipeline came across Switzerland Township, and they had an excavation team with them, an archaeologist team, all along the process from where it started in Iowa to where it's going to end in Pennsylvania. And they come ahead and they view the area where the pipeline is coming through, and they make sure that they're not disturbing any burial mounds or anything like that. Well, in Switzerland Township, where it was going through was a small 12-acre plot of land, and when they went through there, they sent their archaeologist team in, and they did a dig there. And yesterday, this man came from the company and presented the dig to us and many of the people from that area. And I'd just like to share with you what they found. This little 12-acre plot was completely landlocked by landowners all the way around. It was the side of a very steep slope, 20 degrees slope, I believe they said. And when you look at the photographs that they took of the area, you cannot imagine that anyone would put a home on that spot. And yet, while they were digging, they found a foundation buried in the ground. And of course, they did a very large dig and were able to uncover the entire foundation of the home and several outbuildings and several other things that they found. And then he put together a summary of the people that lived there. And it just goes to show what people were willing to do and how hard they were willing to work to make ends meet when they first came to America. And I think it shamed all of us yesterday when we realized what we have let go and how fussy we are and how, you know, we have to have it just like this. Everything has to be just right. But for example, this little piece of property, obviously, it wasn't very popular. It was something that you could purchase for not a whole lot of money, and it just kind of passed down through the generations, maybe in five, even some, not even that many years span. The biggest span, I think, that anybody actually lived in the home was probably 20 years. But what would happen would be somebody would buy the property, live there for a while, outgrow the home, and then switch with somebody else or sell it to somebody that didn't have enough money to buy a big piece of property. And it just went down through many generations in that area. And it was just a beautiful history this man had written up. It also showed in the things that they found that they wasted nothing. There was nothing around, you know, that was of any use to anybody. The dishes that were broken, you know, there was one dish of each kind broken. There was not a whole pile of things left to waste. And it was just a beautiful picture of what our early Swiss and German settlers did, you know, in our area, especially in that area. There were so many of them. How hardworking they were. And, you know, literally built their house on a slope and made it work. They also uncovered something very unusual. 3 feet down, I believe it was, all of a sudden they came across a row of stains that were probably 5 feet by 3 feet, rectangular stains, about 6 inches apart, and it just went around the side of the hill, one after another, probably about 15 of them. And I have never seen anything like it in there, still mystified as to what it was. They actually did search into the family histories to see if they could find, you know, somebody that was possibly a tanner or something else. One of the people there yesterday suggested that there was a lot of tobacco grown on that hillside at one time. But it was just so interesting to uncover, see something uncovered that nobody knew anything about, and to see how they actually lived and worshiped and everything. And there were many aspects covered yesterday. It was just a beautiful picture of what it was like in 1820 in Switzerland Township.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't repeat that. Anybody else? Carol. We do that. That's what we do. Any others? Okay. We will move to our hymn, Just As I Am, number 478.
Thank you.
Please take a few minutes in a time of silence to listen to God's stirrings. Now's the time for sharing our joys and concerns. We've shared some this morning already. Travel mercies for Sonny and Maxine, who are going back to Tennessee today. One other I wanted to mention, Carl Delbrook is having open heart surgery on Thursday. And four-way bypass. May do a new valve too. So if we can keep Carl in our prayers, I think that's at Wheeling Hospital on Thursday.
Yes, I told Dr. Corey, and I told him we would put him on prayers.
Okay. Any others that we want to mention?
Keep Pete in his prayer because he's still dealing with
the wound. Pete has a wound on his hip. He's been, he had surgery a couple weeks ago to have it reduced, and then he's had some therapy. He now has MRSA, which they are treating aggressively, and he goes back to see the doctor this week. So Ashley and I stopped to see him Wednesday when we were up there, and he seems to be in pretty good spirits, but they were going to have a party. August was the 10th anniversary of his fall, and so Christy and the kids had planned a celebration of life party, and they've had to cancel that because we're waiting for some celebration time. So
we may even have to be back at the hospital to degree it
again. So just keep him and Christy and the kids in your prayers, if you will. Ashley. Lester McGinnis is back home. I think they've done some adjustment on his medication, and he seems to be doing as well as can be expected. So everybody's fighting something, I guess. Joyce. Betty Palace is home from the hospital. She was in for 6 days. I didn't realize that. Very weak. Joyce?
My sister Doris was in the hospital for a couple of days. She has had a problem with her heart for years. It's a, I think it's called arterial fibrillation or something like that, where her heart beats very fast. And now they're really concerned about it. She went in during an attack, and they put her on some really, really strong medication. I'm not sure she's real happy about this, what she's on, but she's home now. And she feels fine.
Doris Miller had been in the hospital this week, and she's adjusting medication.
Also, Kim Millen fell off of a horse the day before school started, and she thought she just tore a ligament, but now she's going to have a knee replacement. So she's out for a while.
Kim Milhone, who's a teacher at the grade school, she had a fall off of a horse, and she will need a knee replacement from that accident. Mark.
Left, she's in the first room on the left, and I think she's real content there. big, I don't know if you've seen the big cats that are in the care center. They weigh like 30 pounds. They're just so totally gorgeous. But they go in physically, so that's working out too well.
All right, Donna Beery has moved into a private room with a lot of large cats, which she's not sure are going to stay as residents in her room. But she's doing well, and she does take visitors, so if anybody's up there, they want to stop in and see Donna. Mary's nephew, who's been battling some knee injury. What's his name, Mary?
Hunter.
Hunter Connell?
Connell.
Any others?
Dick's going to be seeing his surgeon this week to get the results of the MRI on his shoulder. It's already been repaired and re-injured, so we're hoping he's not having that surgery.
Dick has had an MRI last week, and he meets with the surgeon this week to see if he needs to have another surgery on his shoulder because of a fight he had with a pawpaw tree. It's a male thing. I think the pawpaw tree won. I think he was trying to protect his pawpaw tree when something else fell on his pawpaw tree, and he threw it over the hill, and he wrenched his shoulder. He was a mama to the papa. But you can't do that anymore. All right. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come forward with thanksgiving and praise, glad for the opportunity to give us a sign that Jesus lives in our midst. We will now take our morning offering.
Thank you.
Please join me in the Nicene Creed, which can be found on an insert in front of the hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into the heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look to the resurrection of the dead and the life in the world to come. Amen. You are God's handiwork, a craft well designed and fashioned and suited to the task for which is set before us, taking the good news to the nations. Our closing hymn this morning is number 351, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. May you feel the hand of God upon you in all your doings. May you hear the Spirit of God in all that is spoken. May you bring and receive the healing of God that flows from the cross. Amen. Amen.